Yitzhak Ben Yaakov. I'm a son of Abraham and a follower of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. I am what I am by the grace of the Most High. And that is really the story that I've come here to tell you today. A message of His grace. His amazing grace. I'm getting ahead of myself. I am old now. 80 years. But I've come here to tell you of a day many years ago when I was but a boy. Well, my 10th birthday had passed. I was nearly a man. It was time for me to join my father and the other men in the fields. Yes, I know that shepherds are not the most respected of people, especially by the pious Jews. People say we smell like sheep. I say, is that such a bad thing? If I minded the smell of sheep, I wouldn't be a shepherd. It's true that it's difficult for us to be observant Jews. We need to be out in the fields taking care of the flocks. How can we get into the city for worship and sacrifice? Of course, that changed for everyone when the temple was destroyed last year. There would be no more sacrifices. Most of us shepherds are not educated. A few of us learn letters. But then why would a shepherd need to read? Still, we can hear the word of the Lord and we can learn it. We can hide it in our hearts. Haham ha'okim b'hoshek. Ra'u or gadol. Yoshvei ba'eretz samavet. Or naga alehem. Most of you don't speak Hebrew. Excuse me, my Gentile friends. Let me translate into your strange tongue. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Do you now recognize the words of the great prophet Isaiah? 7 centuries before the Master's birth, He spoke of the coming of the light of the world. Did the prophet know that the light would be both the shepherd of Israel and the Lamb of God? Yes, for centuries, shepherds have been at the heart of Israel's faith. The fathers were shepherds, were they not? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Moses himself tended sheep. And that's the heart of the matter. When God was hardening the heart of Pharaoh, he told the people through Moses to sacrifice a lamb, a spotless lamb, and to put its blood over the door and on the doorposts. And that blood meant life in that house instead of death. I am just a shepherd, and like my father and his father before him, I tend my sheep in the fields around a small and humble hamlet in Judea. The name of our town means house of bread. Bethlehem, you call it. A small place, but with a great history. Our father David was from this very town. He too tended sheep, you know. The great prophet Micah spoke of this place. When centuries before the Master's birth, he said, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are tiny among the clans of Judah, out of you shall come forth to me one who will shepherd my people Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." This would be the place from which the Messiah would come, the promised one, the Son of the Most High, the one who was to be ruler in Israel, the son of David, for whom we had waited so long. Yes, even in those days, we were under the thumb of Rome. We were desperately waiting for our rescuer, our deliverer, the promised one. We were looking and waiting for the hope of Israel. Ah, but there was so much we didn't understand. It was a quiet and cold night. That night, 70 years ago, 70 years. It seems like yesterday. We were in the fields taking care of our flocks. I was with my father and a few other humble, hard-working shepherds. It was a clear night. Oh, how I love such nights. The heavens truly declare the glory of God. So many stars. I tried to count them more than once. They always ran out of numbers long before I ran out of stars. I was not the brightest candle in the menorah. Well, I was laying on the ground, gazing up at that marvel of the heavens. And suddenly, a glorious sight. I can hardly describe it, even after all these years. But there, suspended above us, was a gleaming angel of the Lord. I was already on the ground, but my father and the other men fell on their faces before that shining creature from heaven. Why was he here? What had we done? What did this mean? And then he spoke. Fear not. Fear not? How could we not be afraid of such a glorious sight? But though his voice was powerful, it was somehow comforting, calming, and peaceful. And you know, suddenly I wasn't afraid. He went on, and his next words brought a message that our people had longed to hear for so long. He said, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. Messiah had come. Messiah had come. For centuries, our people had longed and waited for the coming of our Deliverer. It was our blessed hope at that time, to be sure. Messiah. The prophecies had started almost from the beginning, after the fall, from the time of Adam and Eve when they sinned. God promised the seed that would crush the serpent's head, a rescuer. And he gave them skins for a covering. Think of what that means, that the creator of life killed one of his creatures, shedding its blood to cover the man and the woman. Yes, they learned quickly that sin would require a price. It would require a life. It would require blood. The hope of a Deliverer, a Savior, the Messiah. It took many forms in the Scriptures. The sacrifices, yes, but also the great prophet Isaiah spoke of a coming one, a suffering servant, when he said that he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. And yet we considered him stricken by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by His wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Like a sheep. He, the Messiah, the Good Shepherd, is also the Lamb, the servant, the sacrifices. Another strand of our hope of a deliverer was the promise that was made to David. He was promised a son, an ideal son, who would have an eternal kingdom, and who would also be called the Son of God. Yet he would be rejected. A righteous man, but a sufferer. A righteous sufferer. How could all of these things be true? But these different strands were woven together through the centuries in the fabric of the Scriptures. A promised deliverer. That was our hope. And that day, the angel said to us, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." Today, this day, Messiah. Generations had longed for his coming. And now he was here. The Son of David, the servant, the Lamb, my King, was here. Well, what else did the angel say? "Unto you this day in the town of David." To us? Was he talking to us? Humble shepherds? We were not the pious ones. We were not the religious elite. We were not aristocracy. We certainly were not powerful or influential. Could it be that he came for the meek? Could it be that he came for sinners? I must say that it didn't strike me at that moment on that starry night, but for many nights afterward, I heard my father and the other men speculate, why did the angel bring such news to us? Why not to the priests or to the scribes? Only years later, over 30 years later, did it finally dawn on us. We were down in those fields, keeping watch over the flocks, animals destined for sacrifice in the temple. It was as though the angel was saying to us, "Why are you here watching these sheep? Get down to Bethlehem and see the Lamb of God." That's what John the Baptist called him 30 years later. When he saw him coming to be baptized, he said to Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He recognized him. It was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer to sanctify those who were unclean. A perfect sacrifice was needed, one of eternal worth. The eternal Son, Emmanuel, God with us. The Lamb had been born. How could we imagine then that one day his precious blood would be shed? The word that the angel spoke was more than we could grasp. And he said to us, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." I thought, what? Where? In a manger? The Messiah? Our promised deliverer? In an animal's feeding bin? It can't be. But suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of angels, the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Peace to men on whom his favor rests." Peace. Oh, how we had longed for it. His favor truly rested on us. Simple people. Yes, sinful people. But God chose us. He chose us to receive the good news. He chose us to be his own, even to be his messengers. Well, we hurried to town, and we found them, exactly as the angel had said. Emmanuel, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Have you held a newborn baby? So tiny, so weak, so fragile. Think of it. It's such a slender thread as the feeble throb of an infant life. The salvation of the world should hang. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of man. His first bed in this cold world, a manger. His first shelter, a grotto used as a shelter for animals. But his name told the story. Yeshua, Jesus, Savior. This was good news. This was too good to keep to ourselves. We shouted to whoever would listen that the Messiah had been born. Our rescuer was here. The Lord had come. Let earth receive her King. And many had shouted that before. And who would listen to a handful of shepherds? We were the first, but not the only ones that received an announcement of the Savior's birth. Sometime after he was born, the Magi from the east came to see the newborn king. They worshipped him, and they presented gifts to him. And then they left by another way, avoiding Jerusalem, and went back to their own land. What followed next was the most horrific experience our village would ever know. That madman Herod. We had no warning. Herod's soldiers stormed into town, ripping babies and toddlers from their mother's arms. Every male child under two. Oh, the wailing. The unspeakable grief. They could not be comforted. Oh, the pain of violently losing a son. Do you know it? God does. We learned later that his time had not yet come. That Joseph and Mary took the boy and fled to Egypt. And only after Herod's death did they return to the family home in Nazareth. Well, you know the rest of the story. He grew up, as did I. And for years we heard almost nothing else about him. Only later did we start hearing stories, reports of a rabbi, of someone who taught with authority, a prophet, a miracle worker, a preacher. When we heard the stories, I thought it must be him. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He cured lepers. He cast out demons. He gave sight to the blind. He even raised the dead. And then when I heard his name, I knew it was him. Jesus. The same name that his parents had given him that night in Bethlehem. Well, we thought that soon surely he would assume the throne of David and establish the kingdom on earth. Even we, the shepherds, cannot imagine what the Lamb had to do. He entered Jerusalem that last week. At first, it cheers. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Such rejoicing. Would this be the time? But a week is such a short time. The days passed quickly. And it happened. Betrayal. Denial. Arrest and scourging. A crown of thorns pushed down onto his holy brow. The cross. Darkness. How could they do it? Why did he let them? We should have known. Our scriptures had spoken of it. That without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sins. There was sadness and confusion among us for 3 days. What had happened? What did this mean? And 3 days later, all doubt was removed forever. The tomb was empty. And he appeared. First to Peter and then to the 12. And on one occasion to over 500 of the brothers at once. I have spoken with those who were there. They saw him. They touched him. They even ate with him. He is alive. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way and the truth and the life. For 40 days, he appeared to his disciples, teaching them about the kingdom. And then after 40 days, the disciples asked him, Lord, is it at this time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Oh, the Master is so patient with us. He didn't rebuke their question. He just gently corrected them. After all, it wasn't a stupid question. But they should have, it was just the wrong question. Instead of asking when, they should be asking what should we be doing until the kingdom comes. Until that day. He told them, you're to wait a few days until I send the Comforter. The Spirit will empower you. And then he told them that they would be his witnesses, starting in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. And then when he finished speaking, began to ascend into heaven before their very eyes. And they stood there gazing upward. And suddenly an angel appeared, standing there with them. He said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing upward into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will return in like manner. He will return. And now we wait. Beloved brother Paul said in a letter to Titus, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That is my hope. And that is how I must live. And you, my friends, have you put your trust in him? He is the good shepherd, Jesus, who laid down his life for the sheep. Yeshua, Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved? Are you looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ? Because as surely as He came the first time, He will come again, according to His promise. Are you waiting? Are you looking for His return? Is that your blessed hope? How then will you live until He returns? Your treats, your trees and your lights and your decorations, they are beautiful. I've been around looking around in your town here. But even more beautiful is this truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then He said, and whoever received Him, to them gave He the power to become children of God, even to those who believe on His name. Do you know Him? Have you received the true gift of Christmas? Life through faith in Jesus Christ. Will you follow Him? During these days of celebration, tell someone that you know, someone that you love and care about the gift of Christmas. The gift the Father offers to all who will believe. He's the reason for the season. I must go now. But you, please embrace the message. Proclaim it from the housetops. Shout it to whoever will hear that Jesus came to save sinners. He's alive. And He calls us to follow Him and to spread the good news to all who will hear. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Shalom.